seems like everybody has come back. And like my first question really to you is, does everybody feel okay? Kind of all right? Good enough? Like, best to drop the idea of life being perfect. It hardly ever is. Or if so, short periods of time, snippets of time. So far, any burning question? We are going to have a time of questions and answers after the reflection, but if you are sitting here and you are really kind of on a volcano that needs airing or needs maybe erupting a bit, then feel free to address what you feel needs to be addressed or questioned or anything. Okay? It seems you are okay. The theme of today is impermanence, as I mentioned a few times before, and hopefully during these first few hours you had some inkling, you had some focus in regards to that or towards that theme. And I mean, especially those of you who are practicing Vipassana or the Buddhist path, since a while, you have heard this word many times, and it's always when you choose a theme for a retreat, you always think, oh yeah. Some of you have heard this many times, but I felt like impermanence is such an important part of our life. It's such a crucial aspect, important aspect to our practice as well, that I felt, well, there is a lot in this theme to explore, and you could easily fill a whole weekend, a whole week, with just looking at that. For most of us, we have kind of mixed relationship with impermanence, with anicca. Like, there are aspects that we are welcoming. There are aspects that we feel quite at ease with. Right now we are just about entering the time of autumn. And usually when we look at nature in autumn, we can appreciate impermanence because we see the beauty that it brings out, the colors of the leaves changing and turning in, some of the trees kind of turning into flames or golden clouds or something really, really beautiful. And we do, of course, we do appreciate that. And we, like, to those aspects of impermanence that we are welcoming, we usually don't have any problems with it. And I assume you are in that way very similar to myself and to others who I know feel similar. But of course there are the bits and pieces that are hard to digest, that are not going down so easily, that, like, in terms of changes that happen, that have happened, and that are still happening in our lives, that we find hard to agree to, hard to come to terms with, hard or difficult to even address, or even to difficult to acknowledge. And talking from my own experience, I have been just recently going through quite a strong change, like circumstances of my life have changed in quite a, I always want to say in quite a dramatic way, and from my side, pretty unexpected. So how do you relate to that as a nun, of having been a nun, living monastic life since 20 years, so, and kind of always, not always, but especially over the last few years, really feeling, oh yeah, impermanence is quite all right. I'm kind of getting it. And yeah, okay, not always nice, not always pleasant, but pretty okay. And here am I sitting and just really struggling. I mean, not struggling in terms of having physical pain or feeling deprived or anything like that, but coming to terms with changes that have not been initiated by myself. I haven't been initiating them, but I'm living through them right now. And what I see, what is unfolding for me, is that moving in and out of spaces where I feel, okay, I can accept the change, I can see the spaciousness, the openness that the change brings, because life is not so clearly defined at the moment. And this is what changes usually bring. They open up towards possibilities I might not have seen before. And I'm finding in myself in a position where I can envision all kinds of things that would be possible. And that's kind of all right, yeah? But then there's also that aspect of grieving. I've lost something that I have been valuing, that was meaningful to me, that was important to me. And mainly these, so to say, things that I have lost are actually not things. They are perceptions, they are ideas, views, self-image, going, like, covering all that area. And maybe kind of to make things clear, is until very recently I have been living in a monastery, and I have been moving away from it. And I've been moving away from it because I could see that what I had to offer wasn't really welcomed anymore. So it was a painful experience because I loved where I was living and I had not anticipated to move away. As things unfolded with personal dynamics and interactions, it felt the best solution for myself to make the decision, okay, I'm moving away, and for a period of time, I'm just, like how we would call it in a monastic tradition, and that's what I'm calling it right now, or we are calling it right now, is like on a sabbatical, like being away for a year, and just seeing what is the next step to do. So part of it, as I said before, is actually not unpleasant. It's actually quite enjoyable. Like I feel incredibly relieved because I'm not carrying any heavy responsibilities that I have been carrying before. Like I was the only nun in the monastery and I had lots and lots and lots of things to take care of. So I'm free of that. What a relief. Great. You know, I'm not denying that. But what is, and what becomes over the time also, this is happening since several months now, and over the time I experience like grief. I really appreciated where I lived. I had lots of really beautiful connections with the lay community around. I'm missing that. They are my friends, and I see them from time to time, but not so regularly anymore. And so, kind of things like that. And I'm saying all this, not for you to feel pity for me or anything, but more to, I think it might resonate. It might remind you on situations that you have gone through yourself. And not that you had to leave, or that you were deciding to leave a monastery, but maybe your work, maybe partners, maybe somebody who was very important for you in your life dying or getting very sick, and just circumstances that you have been taking for granted changing. Yeah. So where is our acceptance with, and how do you say, even appreciating impermanence when we come into that situation? Like one thing that I found really helpful, and it kind of, when that arose, it made me stop, and it was this sort of metta, what you are looking at is something that has happened already. Yeah? It's not just that I'm agreeing to a change to come. When change comes, actually, it has happened already. Reality has moved on from where I was. Can I actually say yes to that? And if I say yes to that or not, doesn't matter. Reality is different right now. Yeah, and that is something I feel for myself. I felt it was really important to realize that when we are resisting change, we are clinging to a situation that is not real anymore. Life has moved on already. Can I allow myself, and can I make that inner space to see, to feel, to connect with where I'm right now? And sometimes it means, and that is the difficult bit, it means we have to also connect with the painfulness of the experience. We have to connect with maybe just the unpleasantness of change, yeah, making life a bit more difficult, and why that, you know, that kind of resistance, or the resistance of, I can't face this right now, I just don't have the energy, I don't have the strength to go there. And very important, we need to respect that. Yeah, sometimes our acceptance of change takes a little bit of time because we don't have the inner resources, the inner strength, the inner capacity to really connect with that. So I'm not saying to you, you should accept change, because we do it when we can. Yeah? Or at least most of us, I think so, try or do accept change when we are in the place to be able to do that. So we find ourselves, on the other hand, we find ourselves often in places where we don't quite agree with life, with the unfolding of life. And I think what is really important is to ask ourselves the question, what is actually in the way for that? I mean, I mentioned already, it can be like that it is too painful for us to hold. But sometimes it's not so much the painfulness, it's more, and that's the other aspect that we have to look at and that we have to connect with and understand, is often it is like we have certain views of how life should be, how we should be in life, and how life should relate to us. And it doesn't. It's a fact, isn't it? and so what do we do about that? And, I mean, you can spend the rest of your life resisting it and seeing yourself as a poor victim who has to cope with the world that is not quite like you want it to be. And good luck with that. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to ridicule you. But it's more like we can waste so much time with doing that, even in small ways. Yeah. So what do we have to understand in order to be able to say yes to impermanence? And to say yes to impermanence in regard to those aspects that are not so agreeable. I think we have to see that we grow up, or we all are conditioned in a way that we seek happiness, that we seek pleasant experiences where we can't quite find them. Yeah? We seek them in areas where it is impossible. There's a very nice simile. Every time I hear it, I really have to laugh about it, and some of you might know it already. The sage Nasruddin, looking like maybe telling the story, like he's in front of his house and he has a bowl of peppers in front of him, and he's biting into one after the other and just shrugging and really not enjoying it. And a friend of him passing by and saying, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "Well, I'm looking for the sweet pepper." It's I find it incredible how well this portrays what we can find ourselves doing again and again. Because we long so much to believe in our delusions, in our distortions about life, about reality, about where we find ourselves in reality. And we need to understand that if we are looking for happiness, for fulfillment in places that can't quite offer it, the result is that we suffer more or less, depending on what situation it is, what relationship it is that you are, or what situation it is you are looking at. So what, and you have to ask that yourself, or if you're really interested in understanding impermanence and finding a way of developing contentment in your life, is like, where are the areas in your life that you are looking in the wrong place? Yeah? If you experience suffering, if you experience pain, if you experience unpleasantness in your life, and it repeats itself. I mean, we all do experience unpleasantness. It's just part of life. But if you have areas in your life where you notice you are again hitting your head on the brick wall, and it's not the first time that you are doing it, it's important to ask yourself, what is it that I'm not seeing? What is it that I'm not understanding here? What am I looking for that is actually impossible? Maybe not. Maybe you believe it is possible. But if you hit your head the 10th or 15th time, it's pretty sure not quite possible. Maybe you just need to get a slight different angle onto the situation, onto the object that you try to incorporate in your life. And looking at, like when we look at impermanence from the Buddhist point of view, what we have to look at is that maybe we need to step out of that point of view that life is built up in entities into, and changing the view into, actually life is process, is a constant change, it's a constant arising and ceasing, coming into being and ceasing. And like the Buddha says, everything that is born is going to die. I mean, just take yourself. I mean, how often do you think, well, dying is not quite yet your time? And we all are brothers and sisters in birth, aging and death. For sure, I guarantee you, at the end of your life, there's death. It's just for all of us. Nobody is excluded from that. And then asking yourself the question, how often am I actually really aware of that? How do I actually am living my life with the knowledge that death is in the end? If I knew that I just had another year to live, how would I live it? If you want to know what is important for you right now, ask this question. If you have just another year to live, how would you live it? And you really very easily find those themes, find those aspects of your life that are really important. And we often lose ourselves. We often lose the direction by just getting distracted, completely distracted from what is really essential, what is meaningful. So, coming back to our resistance, coming back to why can't I quite say yes to the unfolding of now? I think that is one of the crucial questions. And as you all know, we have certain desires, we have things in our lives that we would like to manifest, that we would like to happen, to unfold. And often our very desire for that is in the way for it to happen. Yeah, I see some of you can really relate to that. And sometimes you can even see it in very little things. Like when you look at your meditation practice, if you had a really good sitting this morning, and we are going to have a sitting later on, like after the questions and answers, most likely, probably at least 50% of you would try to get back what you had before. Yeah? And there's nothing, how do you say? In a way, I want to say there's nothing really wrong in this. It's just really, we are human. We all do that. When we had a good experience, we try to find a way of repeating that. But in the first place, often good experience just happens because we don't expect it. Yeah? Because we are open, like our heart, our whole system is open to just allow what happens to happen. When we are in flow with that, when we are in the flow with reality, then whatever needs to happen can happen. But often our expectations, the very wish for the best to happen is in the way for it being able to manifest, because we come in with strategies, we come in with opinions, we come in with manipulating, and with that we are building up obstructions for life to flow. Just look at a river. Like, if you build obstructions in the river just flows around it. It doesn't flow through it. Or it doesn't work on it until the obstruction is gone. It just flows around. And that is what life is doing. And that as more obstructions as we build up, the more you will experience that life doesn't quite go the way you like it. I mean, I have just, like, 2 years ago, I'm 62 now, have come into my 60s, and I've heard from a few other people that that is really an age where something in you is kind of relaxing with life. It might sound strange to the younger ones, but I really do experience that. And it seems like as if something, it's almost like life is hitting the nail on the head, and you get something. Yeah? And part of it is that, I mean, for myself, I don't take myself so serious, so important anymore. You know? Yes, I mean, I'm not saying that, I mean, definitely there is ego, definitely I'm struggling with this, but it gets a different, there comes a different flavor in. There comes in this, okay, this doesn't happen, so what? You know, and coming back to what I said earlier about my recent experiences, I think 10 years ago, I would have related very differently to that situation. You know? I would have felt, oh, I have to manage it, and I have to make a plan of what to do next, and all that. But I really feel that internally I have come to a point where I feel also, let's see what happens next. You know, it's kind of more, you're getting more, maybe also through life experiences, you know that however much you plan or you would like or you try to manipulate, it just does its own bit, you know. And it doesn't mean that if I'm planning, it will be better. I don't believe in that anymore. You're kind of somewhere on the path, you drop that idea. You are not quite believing in that anymore. And I think understanding impermanence is kind of related to that. That you see that, and sometimes I've been asking myself in that way, it's like if I would be really in charge of my life, just my life, not the life of others, yeah? If I would be really in charge and everything I wanted would manifest, would happen, how would I feel? How would you feel? Just for a moment, take that in. Everything you wanted would manifest. Do you think you would have the feeling your life is perfect? If so, for how long? That is, and this last question is actually important. And that is, if we don't agree with the flow of life, with the impermanence, if we feel like we have our own story or we have our own agenda, then soon or later we will realize that actually life can get in such a mess if our agenda, if we are really successful with our agenda. And just think back, like where you were maybe 10 years ago. What were your wishes at that time in regards to your life? What of that has come through, and what effect did it have? Yeah. If I'm looking back, I go a little bit further. Like, I would say, like, 25 years ago, before I entered monastic life, my wishes and my expectation of life were so different. Yeah. If you turn around and you look, I saw that in the beginning, and you look at those faces at the wall, do you recognize yourself? I'm not saying you look like that. but isn't that what our mind constantly displays? All kinds of possibilities. Oh yeah, let's do this, let's have that. Oh, then I'm really happy. And it comes, you have it, you get it. Okay, what's next? Yeah, we hardly take the time, even if we finally got what we wanted, we hardly take the time really to be with that, to really appreciate it. Because we are so primed to get the next hit, the next bit, the next excitement, the next whatever. Yeah? As long as it is the next. When we live in that way, contentment has no chance to come in. And that is, I can say, to my surprise, and I didn't expect that, something that has been developing for me during monastic life and connected with the simplicity of monastic life. Contentment steps in. Like, in order for those of you who don't really know what it means, like, monastic life in the Theravada tradition means you practice a lot of renunciation. We are not allowed to have cars and lots of things. And we are not even allowed to drive. We are like, for myself, I'm as a nun, or monks the same, in our tradition, we don't handle money. I don't have the use of money. I have people, if I'm getting like supported via donations, then I have somebody who is taking care of that for me, so that what I need I get. But it's like I'm not going out there into the world to get what I want anymore. It's really funny enough, I'm sitting here and actually life comes to me. If I'm not running after things anymore, actually, I don't want to say things, but the needs that you have are getting fulfilled in different ways. It means you are not spending your time being busy in planning how you get this or that. If you really need it, it will come. It's sometimes really quite amazing, actually, how things evolve, how things form. And I'm not saying that because I think you all should be monastics, monks or nuns, definitely not. That's a very special way and only really a good thing for few people. But it's about looking through the delusion of desire, looking through the, how do you say, the promises, the unfulfilled promises of desire. Yeah, we and I'm finding myself doing that too, don't get me wrong. It's like we so easily buy into this thought of, if I only had that, things would be better. Are they really? And I mean, for me the answer is no. Often I only can see the wisdom of, I can only see the wisdom of impermanence, of the flow of life, when I really allow it to, I want almost to say, to be carried away by it, or to be cared by it, you could also say. Because my experience is, as less I am in the way, the more reality can actually really step in, manifest and unfold, because I'm not objecting it, because I'm not avoiding it, I'm not turning away from it. And like, and you all know, like the, and we all have them, the scars or the mark of attachment, of trying to desperately to hold on to what isn't anymore, or what won't be as it was before. And those scars can be very, very painful. And often when we notice them, when we experience them, I, like when you come to the point where you say, well, I really have difficulty with accepting this, maybe look into the possibility of forgiveness, compassion with yourself or with others, whatever the situation is that you are looking at. But often we really have to start with ourselves, like almost like feeling empathy for, I don't want to say for where we are, but feeling empathy with that we are not where we maybe would like to be. And I'm not speaking here against aspirations and skillful, beautiful aspirations, like your aspirations for the spiritual path and for growing on the path, but more like those things that we know they are not good and yet we cling to. Yeah? Like those opinions, those views that we have, those situations in our lives that we couldn't yet quite say yes to. And they might lay back years and years, but they are still manifesting in our lives because we haven't let go of them. Kind of understanding impermanence, understanding the unfolding of anicca, can help us to connect with those areas in our lives and to understand why we are still holding on there. I like to offer that for your reflection today, and I hope I haven't offended anybody with what I have been saying. Definitely not my intention. And yeah, and I also would open the space for any questions, any inquiries to what I have said, or maybe also sharing from your own life if you like to contribute.